Johnson, he's the one that does like the Seven Mountain Mandate or whatever. And he's like,
they literally believe that we should fight and take over like in politics, movies, government, school, and education to bring in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, this world's not of my kingdom. He's coming to bring that in at the end. We preach the gospel to them that they don't do. John Foyt is void of the biblical gospel. Literally, you can go and watch the videos. My wife and I in Billings, Montana are in the middle of their, it was in a public park. That's why the only reason I was in the middle of it. I'm holding gospel signs. I've got demonic people screaming tongues in my face. They didn't care about the gospel. They don't care about sound doctrine. They don't care about scripture. All they care about is emotionalism. Do you think the Holy Spirit works this way? Where did you go see him? What city?
Madison.
Okay. Do you think the Holy Spirit works this way? Okay. Get ready. The Holy Spirit's going to fall on the count of 1, 2. You're already shaking your head. 3. Everybody run up here. This is all man-induced hysteria, emotion, hype. Not of the Holy Spirit. Altar calls. Can you name me one Bible verse where there's an altar call in Scripture?
Dude, I mean, now what?
Peter.
I got to change. Okay, what's the, like?
In Acts 2, ready? In Acts 2, Peter preached the gospel, and then he said, guys, break out the harp music and the orchestra. We're going to woo them in their flesh. He's laughing. Peter never said that. Peter preached the word of God, the Spirit, and they said, what do we do? Break out the music and get fleshly like with Toby Mac, the music corps. No. Repent. And the book of Acts, the most evangelistic book in the Bible. Agreed? How many times does it use the word love? 0. The book of Acts, the most evangelistic book in the Bible. You don't hear the call, God loves you. God loves you, wants you to come to the kingdom. Do you know how much God loves you? No. The call is repent and obey the gospel. And you learn about the love of God and Christ as you walk, and you know that God sent Christ, but you get the love of God one way. What one way do you get it? I've been preaching all day, the gospel. You don't have the love of God. I don't have the love of God unless we repent. We're born again in Christ. If you don't have the love of God in Christ, what are you going to get from God? What's the opposite? Love, the opposite is wrath. And God, the Bible says, God so loved the world in John 3:16 that he sent Christ. When did Christ come?
2,000 years ago.
One time act. You got to go back and get that one time act when he rose again, and you got to apply it to your life, and you got to follow him and walk in holiness, not the world and false churchianity, not the culture. And this one blows people's mind. In the New Testament, I have an article. All the stuff I'm teaching, I have articles on my teaching blog. I've studied all this for years. How many times in the New Testament does God talk about loving the world? How many times?
That you shouldn't love the world?
Huh?
That you shouldn't love the world?
No. God himself loving the world. How many Bible verses in the New Testament specifically say that God showed his love to the world?
John 3:16.
There's one. John 3:16.
Romans 5:8.
Romans 5:8 is another one. That's it. There's one in Titus that's really leaning towards the saints that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's talking to the body of believers because they've repented. If you're a sinner and you don't want to leave your sin, I got news for you. Ready? If you are a sinner and you won't repent and leave your sin, Christ is not going to be applied to you. Amen? In fact, the gospel is not good news for everybody. Who is it not good news for? You won't lose your life. It's not good news for you. It brings the wrath of God. You only get the love of God or the wrath of God, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan.
What it says, much love covers many sins.
What's that?
Like it says, like great love covers many sins. Mm-hmm. We say like the true gospel is to love thy neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And love God above all.
Right. And if we do that, we won't live worldly. We won't live sinful. We won't walk in false ways. You love God and you love your neighbor. It encompasses the whole law. Jesus did that, and he kept it perfectly.
What do you think about like Mennonites and Amish people?
We didn't come out of them. Some people think because my wife covers her head. No, no, no. I got all kinds of articles on them. They are some of the worst, most hypocritical Pharisees you'll ever meet. Many Anabaptists and Amish believe in Christus Victus. Do you know what that is?
No.
Do you know?
No.
Christus Victus. It's a theory. We all know about the ransom. Bible says Christ was a ransom for us. Says it right in scriptures.
Oh, okay.
They believe that Jesus did penal substitutionary atonement.
No, substitutionary. Like penal, yep.
Penal, PSA, penal substitutionary atonement. It's not a sexual term. Okay, penal substitutionary atonement. I better move over. These people would love to hit me by accident. Penal substitutionary atonement. Did we all deserve sin and God's wrath?
Yes.
Did Jesus die in our place if we'll come to him via the gospel?
Yes.
That's the substitution. So like, let me give you an example of it. In Hitler's death camps, they lined people up. And they said, somebody stole food. Someone's going to die today to teach you to never steal food. Who stole the food? Step forward. And they said, we're going to kill somebody today. This is true. Eyewitnesses testified to this. And the Nazis said, someone's going to die today. Step forward. And there was old men that looked and saw married men and younger men. And they didn't steal the food. And the old men stepped forward and said, take me. And they took him, shot him, and killed him. He sacrificed himself for these younger men. The new men were married. They might survive to the girl, the families. I'm an old man. I'm going to die soon anyway, or whatever. I want to die in his place. That was a substitution. Penal means judicial. You go to court, you're going to pay for this crime. Who's going to pay for this crime? You're going to pay for it. Or the judge is going to go, how else can we get this figured out? And so Christ came into the world to be our substitution. The Anabaptists and the Roman and the Amish, they believe that Jesus did not pay a ransom to the Father to set us free, which is biblical. They believe he paid a ransom to Satan.
What?
Look up Christus Victor, invented by a Lutheran guy in the 1800s. They believe that they paid a ransom to Satan, that Satan had the world in his grips and Jesus had to come and pay off Satan. You really think the Father would ever let Satan have the world in his grip?
Well, Satan's called the God of this world.
Right? Right, but God gives him that. Satan's on a leash. God controls him. Go read the book of Job. Everything that he did to Job, did God let him do? God controlled him. Satan's like a mad dog on a leash. The Father has him controlled, and you see guys with a dog on a leash, and they let him get so far, and then they pull him back and stop him. Who's the master? So Satan is on a leash, and so God sent Christ to be our propitiation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Christ who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. That doesn't mean you can keep living in your sin. That means you have a chance to be pardoned from your sin. But if you go and you stand before a righteous judge in a courtroom and he says, today I'm going to go easy on you, and you tell the judge, good, I'm going to go out and sin a lot more and break a lot more laws. The judge is going to go, maybe I should change my mind. You need a major sentence to sit in jail to think about this. So just because Christ came and took our punishment doesn't mean we can live in sin. If you really are born of Christ, you flee sin. Every nail strike in his hands, every whip in his back. Do you realize they whipped Jesus so bad with cats of nine tails that had glass in it? And they struck him in the back, 9 or 10 of them, deep into his flesh, and they pulled it and they ripped it. And you know what the result was? Most historians say you could see his vital organs through the back. He was ripped apart. He was bloodied and sinful.
I would like to know why Life Fest is a sin. Why Satan runs the world. Oh, what is that? Jesus would rebuke Life
Fest. Check yourself at 1 Corinthians and speak of love.
Yes, sir.
Love is keeping God's commandments, 2 Corinthians 3. If you go to our testing of Life Fest, it'll show you. You're not a seeker then. We didn't come for you. You're not a seeker.
Yes, I am, sir.
You're not a seeker.
Oh, thank you, sir. False prophets, okay?
We didn't come for you. Go into your flesh vest. Feminization doesn't stand. Feminization doesn't stand before a holy God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said in John 15:14, do you want to be my friend? Keep my commandments. Hebrews 5:9 says Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. Can anybody show me one scripture that says you can live in sin and worldliness and be of God?
Should we go get Lot?
same lot?
We got a buddy in there right now who rolled with us.
Can I tell you a quick story? I was here last year. I was here last year. I met a young guy. He was convicted about what was going on. Him and his buddy, older guy with him, and he was younger guy, like 20. Ready? This is a true story. If God's doing something in you, do not squelch that light. God will take it away. Parable of the talents. What happened to the guy that didn't do nothing with his talent? Ready? This is a story from Jesus. One guy gets 5 and makes 10. Bless you. Come in the joy of your Lord. One guy has 2 and makes 4, I think. Blessed. Come into the joy of your Lord. One guy says, I didn't want to do anything. I just buried it. And he says, you wicked servant, but you're mine anyway. No problem. Come on in. Get the joy of the Lord. Bind him up and throw him into outer darkness and give what he had to that guy who does something with it. Watch out what God gives you. It's only there for a while. He will remove your light. I was here last year, met 2 guys. The preaching convicted them. They left. The one guy called me that night. It was a Saturday. He said, can I come out with you Sunday? And I said, yeah, come on out. Came out. He says, will you take me with you? I said, what do you mean, take you with me? He goes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I said, that's all I make. I don't make disciples of me. It's about Christ. He goes, I want to come. I want to be a preacher. Pinching myself. And I'm going, okay. I said, what's your story? Oh, I live at home with my mom. They're worldly. I go to this worldly church here. Some of the guys brought the youth pastor from his church. The youth pastor came up to me. The word of God sliced him apart. He left mad. He goes, I want to go. I want to learn how to be a disciple. He starts traveling with me and another brother for 2 nights in his car. He was camping. We set him up. He was comfortable. He said, I got to call my mom. I said, bad idea. Because I heard about his mom. He told me. He said, I got to call my mom and talk to her. I said, I wouldn't do that. I said, text her, tell her you're safe, put some distance, let's go follow Jesus. He was addicted to porn. He begged me to take his iPhone and keep it from him. I said, I'll do it. Are you in? Were you in on this? Yeah. He said, my parents won't help me. Nobody will help me. I said, come. Took his iPhone, hit it. We're going to get him a track phone. I got to call my mom. Bad idea. He calls her. I've never heard a woman, grown woman, my wife said, beller like this. She sounded like a 13-year-old on PMS, crying, screaming, bellering. We're having a family reunion. You got to come home. I'm looking at him. I said, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Come, come. I said, for a month or so, text her, you're fine. You'll go back and see you later. Come, come. Prayed with him, got him strengthened. He said, yeah, I know I need to do this. The next morning, he woke up. He came up to me. He said, preacher, I got to go home. Can I have my phone? I said, you got to go home. Why? He goes, I'm breaking my mom's heart. Worldly, carnal woman, helping him stay in porn. I'm breaking my mom's heart. I said, what about the heart of God and obeying him? He said, maybe I'll get there someday. I got to go home. I said, you're making a big mistake. Here's your phone. I love you. You have to go. He left 6 months later. And that guy and I had a lot of talks, deep talks. 6 months later, his buddy calls me to chew me out. I said, what are you chewing me out for? You ruined him. I said, what do you mean I ruined him? This young man came back and he told me, I know if I go back, I'll go back into my sin, my worldliness. And he said, God will turn me over. I said, he may. He went back. He went back to his sin. God turned him over. This guy called me up 6 months later and said he denounced Christ. He said he never was a true Christian. He said he can't live the Christian faith. And he went out into the world. Now, you may say that's terrible. Whoa. He's actually in a better place knowing who he is, that he never was born again, than his buddy who's doing Sunday church, pride and vanity, weightlifting, defending all of his sin like a Pharisee. Who's in a better situation?
Well, like you said, if you're hot, I'd rather have you hot or cold instead of lukewarm.
So the reason I tell you that story is I've seen many, many men like that where God gives them a gift, God gives them light, God calls them, God puts us in their path to help them, and they squander it. And guess what? Out of hundreds of them, I have never seen one of those men, not one, that ever said, I got to go back for a while. I'll come back and get to my holiness, get to my righteousness. Guess what they always do? They go back and it's worse than it ever was, and they never come back. I've never seen one come back yet. Because see, when God gives you light, he says walk with it, obey it. And if you won't, he takes away your grace, he takes away your ability. But guess what? Another praise story. A young man that I met preaching about 3 weeks ago, he's obeying biblical standards in his dress, in his life, in his ways. And you know what he told me? He said, preacher. He said, I can't believe this. I said, what? He said, I'm getting boldness. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I've always been timid. He goes, I'm getting strong. I'm getting boldness. He said, I'm obeying. I'm getting grace. I said, you're getting grace because you're obeying God. He's giving you more. And God says, obey me, I'll give you more. Obey me, I'll give you more. If you don't do something with what God gave you, why should he give you more?
So he gave me 2 kids and a wife. And I want to know, I lost my job because I was sinful. I lied. I felt really, I feel really guilty about it. I feel like I'm losing my salvation, and I know that's because of sin.
Sin will sweep you away.
I don't know what next step to take. You know what I mean?
Like, as far as what, sir?
Just everyday living. It's by the hour, you know what I mean? Like.
Well, how do we serve Christ? In a church service?
No.
Every day?
Every day.
You love your wife every day?
Yes.
Faithful to your wife every day?
Yes.
You a father every day?
Yes.
How about every hour?
Okay, so faithful.
How about every minute?
I also lust, so I wouldn't say... Well, but yes.
You slip into that, but you live in that.
No.
You might look and go, I shouldn't do that. You come out of it. Living in it means I'm going for it. Okay. And I'm committing it. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, the difference between willful sin that you do and sin that trips you up a little bit, that sin that... So Hebrews, I believe in Hebrews 3:13, very much so. Exhort each other daily, why it is today, lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. God makes the sun go up and down every day. We're in a cycle. Mm-hmm. We should all encourage each other every day. How are you doing today? Hey, how are you doing? Check on each other. Send scripture. Do you need prayer? Do you need help? Every day have accountability with godly, holy people to pull you along. Church systems, you go there and they go, hey, how you doing, man? All right, cool. How about that Packer game? That was something, wasn't it? And you just live a worldly life. There's no godly accountability.
And that's why I left certain churches.
Good. So love God and start every day to say, God, I'm going to obey this thing that you showed me in scripture that I'm convicted about. Give me grace to do it. Then don't worry about what the next thing is. Do that and then say, what's next, Lord? And you should be studying the scriptures. You should take time from man-made religion, Sunday church, and say, I have questions about that. Take time from it and get in the Word. Remember dropping the Bible if you're on the desert island? You would never have all these church concepts if you would just go to the Word. It's one of the reasons that I'm so strong in the Word and doctrine. You know why? I didn't grow up in the church system.
You didn't have a preacher do it for you.
Yeah, they didn't taint me to it. Yeah. My wife grew up in the Lutheran church, but when I told her you need to be born again and gave her a Bible, she took to the gospel like this. She said, this is what I've always wanted. This is what I need. I know I need this. My father was an agnostic guy who my mother led around by the nose. He was so feminized. But all my brothers and sisters went to their pagan Roman catechism. And my father, this is amazing how God works. He's so sovereign. My father was not even a man of God. It came my turn to go to the Roman Catholic Church. Every one of my brothers and sisters hate God today. Ask me why. Because of the hypocrisy they saw in the Roman Catholic Church. And they thought that's God, and they hate it. They saw the adultery, they saw the molesting, they saw the sin, they saw the wickedness. It came my turn. My mother went to sign me up, and my dad said, he's not going. And my mother looked at my father and said, what? I mean, she pretty much ran the show. He was totally feminized. And he goes, he's not going. And my mom said, why? He said, I don't want him going. He said, that's not right. I don't want him going. My agnostic father, my heavenly father, had my agnostic father step up for me and spare me from the indoctrination of religion, because God knew one day I would come out and be in the streets and be a preacher of righteousness, and I'm not tainted by all of the doctrines. And I just read the Word, and it came to me, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the pure Word of God. I didn't build on it, once saved, always saved. Dispensationalism, easy believism, preacher of rapture. What do the scriptures tell me? Because Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. So if you're not going to live by every word out of the mouth of God, you can't follow Jesus.
I'm like afraid to be alive right now.
Why?
I don't so much sin everywhere.
Because what?
So much sin everywhere.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who does anybody claim to be born again?
Yes. Yeah.
You claim to be born again?
I do. Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I'm
you?
Not gonna deny
you claim to be born again? Okay.
I just feel like everything I do is sinful in some way.
What
you
should...
Know what I mean?
Like, no. What should we fear?
God.
So you just exhibited fear of the world.
I exhibit fear of going to hell because of my sin. Own sin.
Okay, so what do? You flee it.
Yeah.
So much. Take it back to the example of a bride. If your bride is in sin, what do you ask her to do? Leave it. Go the other direction. She can't be saved in her sin. Jesus never saved anyone in sin. He saves us out of sin. Guess what? I love what I see here. Ready? Paul says in Philippians, I'm working my way through Philippians right now, verse by verse. Paul said, work out your salvation with
fear and trembling.
That's what you have right now. You should. You should be fearing and trembling, going, wow, what sin do I have? What sin am I keeping? How am I walking? Jesus said, strive to enter through the straight way. Many will try and they can't. Did Jesus say it was a cakewalk? Like Toby Mac? No. Strive to enter through the straight way. Ready? Peter says this. You want some more fear? Peter says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what will become of the sinner? Now I have a question. That's terrifying. I have a question. With God, Jesus, the Spirit, the Word, and you and me, what's the weak link in that? You and me. God's not a weak Savior. The fear and the trembling and the righteous are scarcely saved. Why? Because people love their sin and they're holding on to it. They're walking in the flesh. They're afraid to lose family, friends, careers, position. And Christ is this life rope. This is the gospel right here. You're lost in the ocean. Sharks are everywhere. You're lost. You're going to die. Can you save yourself? A life rope comes flying out of nowhere. It's Christ. That's the gospel. What do you got to do? Just look at it and believe on it? What do you got to do with the life rope? What do you think you're grabbing on signifies? Faith, right? And if you hold on tight and don't let go to the end, it's your works and your endurance. Now, what if you're holding on tight and Jesus is going to do his work? He's going to pull you in. You're being pulled to safety and you go, oh, my wallet, my high school pictures and my trophies floating away. And you let go and now you're slipping. What's that? Sin, falling into worldliness. You hold on to that life rope. Christ pulls you through. Your works and your faith are part of your salvation, your response to the life rope. So you're looking at sin going, I'm split like this. I got the world and sin and Christ. You're being, I draw pictures sometimes. I drew a picture of a guy being torn in half. Worldliness and sin, Christ and the gospel, and the guy's being ripped in half. You can't serve two masters. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. So it's good you have fear. You should fear. These places tell you God loves you. Just believe in Jesus and you're going to heaven. Say this prayer and he's got you sealed for all of eternity. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. Do you know what you have today? You don't have salvation locked up, neither do I. What do we have? What does the Bible teach? The hope of it. Yeah, it does. You have the hope of salvation. You have the hope of a great marriage the rest of your life. What do you got to do? You can ruin it. She can ruin it. You can ruin mine. You have the hope of it. Well, we have a great hope. But let me encourage you. Christ is a mighty Savior. He's working in everybody that's really his. If you really are his, you're going to go home. You're going to scour the scriptures. You're going to say, I don't know what it's going to cost. I don't care what it's going to cost. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to start stripping my life down. I'm going to change everything I can. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And guess what? That fear, when you start obeying God, is going to melt away. And that's what it means when it says perfect love casts out fear. When you start loving God perfectly, and in the New Testament, it tells us 30 times to be perfect. Did you know that? I just did a teaching on that. 30 times it tells us to be perfect. You know what that word perfect means in the Greek? Anybody know?
Sinless.
Mm-hmm. That would be hopeless. That would be hopeless. The word in the Greek, I'm sorry? Very good. Complete and mature. Ready? So, I can't be perfect. Oh, he's going to start that up. We'll move over here. I can't be perfect with no sin, but guess what I can be? Can I be complete and mature? If I strive, can I be complete and mature? And if I'm complete and mature, if you're a complete, mature husband and father, do you beat your kids? Cheat on your wife? No, you're complete. You're mature in it. Not perfect. Still make mistakes sometimes. So, yeah. So he's not looking for perfect actions. He's looking for the heart that wants perfection for him. Right? And so you can cast out the fear of God when you start obeying him and you become his friend. I'm a friend of God. Why am I a friend of God? Because I'm so good. I have no gifts and no talents that make me perfect and good. I'm a friend of God because I've heard his word. I've listened to the Spirit, I've cleansed my life, and I'm seeking the kingdom every day with all that I am. I'm a friend of God. That's what Noah did. I want to be a Noah. Noah sought God and he was perfect in his ways before God. This idea this idea. I love you, sir. Here, take a gospel card. Check out our website. My email's on there if I can encourage you. We love you in the Lord. People say street preaching don't work. It's a lie. We've seen so many people's life change by the proclamation of God's word. So you can be complete and mature when you sin, repent. John says, if we walk in the light, what do you think that means?
Means living for Jesus.
What do you walk in most of the time? His word, his ways, his doctrine, his truth. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us. So today you can be cleansed by crying out to God and saying, you know what, I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. Christ, forgive me. Cleansed, washed, gone away. Today, guess what? You got to get up tomorrow and get going. Because if you go back to that same stuff, is it on your record now? If a judge pardons you and you go back to the same crime and you show up in his courtroom again, what do you think is going to happen?
So I did that.
Huh?
So I've done that.
Yeah, you know what that's about. That's not good, is it?
No.
Now, God is merciful. And as long as you have breath, he has given you grace to keep repenting. But you don't know when you're an EMT.
Yeah.
You see people die all the time.
Yeah.
You don't know when your life's going to end. You could die rushing to go help somebody. So you don't live in sin and practice sin. You say, God, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Help me grow in my ways. Help me live for your kingdom. And I will put nothing before you. That's how you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Serving him, knowing him, putting nothing before him, not your wife. You will never serve Christ until you say, Lord, I'm going to grow in my holiness. And if my wife says to me, you're not the man I married. I like the guy that was worldly and cool and all this stuff. Lord, I'm all for you. I would lose my wife for you. If you don't say that in your heart, God's never going to give you his full light, his full grace, his full truth. He's going to go, you're not all with me. Can you imagine if you joined the Marines and if your colonel said, will you do anything for me as your commanding officer? And you said, yeah, everything except this, I ain't doing this for you. They'd go, you're not Marine material. Out of here. That's men.
So when the word says the light will have no fellowship with darkness and like friendship with the world,
yes.
So like we have a lot of friends, you know, who are like practicing or professing Christians, but you know, still play video games for 6 hours a night.
Go out to the bars.
Yeah.
Go to the bars.
Watching a Packer game, watching vile movies. That's all worldliness.
Is it sinful to still be friends with them and to you know, to hang out with them and you know, I guess what's your take on that?
Did Jesus hang out with the unrighteous? Who did Jesus come for? Sinners. But what did he do with them? He ate with them, which there's nothing sinful about eating. But what did he speak into them? Life, or did he talk about worldly carnal things in the Roman king? So the only way I would tell you to go with a bunch of worldly people. In fact, this is awesome because the young man I've been helping, he said to me, I work a job and then we hang out. We all live together. He does a job where he's with a crew. He said, and they're all worldly. They're playing poker. They're playing, watching TV. He goes, they don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear nothing. And should I hang out with them? And I said, the answer is no. If they don't want the things of God, bad company corrupts you. If you hang out with those people and you're watching video games, listening to their music, they're talking about women, they're looking at all this stuff, that's going to corrupt you. Now, if you're with people that go, tell us why you're changed and different. We'd love to hear that. By all means, look at me. Look at the people I'm talking to. But if everybody goes, we don't want to hear what you have to say, walk away. Walk away. So spend your time proclaiming the gospel. Most important, spend your time living it and be led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you'll go into those places, sometimes you won't. Like I won't go into a bar. Why would I? There's drunks there. Sometimes I'll stand outside a bar before real drinking hours, like in Wisconsin Dells. You're familiar with the Dells? I preach at the Dells a lot. 6, 7 o'clock at night, don't stand in front of the bars. Bad time. 2, 3, 1 o'clock, so you use wisdom. And I preach, and I still have drunks come out. And don't ever preach to a drunk. There's nothing good that's going to come preaching to a drunk. But I used to be a drunk. I know that. Drunks just want to fight and argue and complain. So I would say spend your time serving Christ first and say, Lord, how can I glorify you in this activity? And if you can't witness the gospel and they don't want to hear it, you can go out and give out gospel cards. You can hold gospel signs. You could work online. You could study the scriptures. What can you do that is serving the kingdom of God rather than just being with people? The big key is, ready? Be Christ-centered and spirit-led, not flesh-centered and man-led. Think about that. I go to church. Why? I like the fellowship. My wife likes it. The music, the kids program. That's not about Christ. That's not about his doctrine. That's not about truth. Oh, if I do that, preacher, I'm going to lose my wife, my family, I might lose my job. Jesus said you might. Will you do that for Christ? He was beaten, battered, bloody, and bruised for you. What will you do for him? What will you not do for him? And remember the rich man. I was just preaching it to this guy, a young guy over here. So many people I've been preaching to. Thank you, Sister Armand. I said, what about the rich man? Yeah, I know you know the account of the rich man. He comes to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? I love this. Jesus said, keep the law. And the guy says, I've done that. Jesus, we all believe Jesus is God. Jesus is God, knows his heart, knows every action, doesn't argue. Jesus doesn't go, you hypocrite, you're a sinner, you're wicked, like he did with the woman, where he said, you've had five husbands. He called her out. He says, no. Jesus says this, I love this, Mark 10. It says, Jesus loved him and told him, one thing you lack. Whenever I correct people in their doctrine, their theology, they say I'm mean-spirited, they say you're judgmental, they say you don't care for us, you're not showing love. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, loved him and said, one thing you lack will keep you out of the kingdom of God. What was the one thing he lacked?
Sell everything.
Yeah. And now you don't have to sell everything. Let's look at the context of that. Why did he tell him to sell everything? Thank you. Context. Some men were rich. You can be rich. You can have $1 million in the bank. If it doesn't master you and you know it's God's and you're ready to use it for his glory, you don't have to give it all away. But if you love money, you better be careful. It'll master you. So he loved him and he corrected him and said, one thing you lack. Again, you guys are back. What one thing will you lack? And you'll miss the kingdom of God. And Jesus shed his blood to make sure you don't miss it. But you have to submit to him. Submitting. And this idea of believing in Jesus, it's actually a military term. It's an allegiance. Anybody been in the military? Nobody here been in the military. It's an allegiance. It means he's your master. He's your commanding officer. You will do everything for him. You will follow and obey him. Most Americans go, I believe in Jesus like Satan believes in Jesus. I know he's God. That's about as far as it goes. Your allegiance has to go to obedience to follow him.
That's what lordship.
What's that?
That's what it means when you're under a lordship.
Amen.
Lord and
amen. We're servants. We're douloses unto Christ. We're servants. We don't care about our own will. We care about our master's will. Because guess what? Surrender your life now, gain eternal life, lose everything now, and you rule with Christ for eternity. And Revelation says you can become a pillar in the house of God in the book of Revelation. Who wouldn't want to be a pillar in the house of God for all of eternity? What a promise. But people go, I don't want to lose my life here. You're holding on to a golden telephone pole that's going to be burned up and gone. Yet you can have eternity with the one who created you and purchased you. How foolish. Like my homestead, I can't keep it anyway. I'm going to die. I die, somebody else gets it. I'm using that for God's glory, and I wouldn't know any of you people if I wasn't out here preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
So,
it is an answer to my prayers.
Huh?
It's an answer to my prayers that I'm praying lately. I just want to know what my purpose is for his kingdom.
Everything you've said is things that I've talked to with my
good. God sends me in people's path and has me speak the truth. I believe I'm spirit-led, and I believe that I'm telling you the oracles of God, and these are seeds. Everybody know, I know you know, anybody who knows the word of God. The parable of the sower. What happens to seeds? Some, the seeds of God's truth get spread on the ground. What's the first one that gets taken away?
Birds.
Yes, basically it falls on rocky ground and Satan comes and takes it away. So you young people might be listening to this and go, yeah, some of that stuff sounds good. And you go back to your worldly pastor, your worldly friends, your worldly family, and they go, don't listen to that guy. Satan sweeps it away before you open the scriptures and let it grow deep in you. Then some of the seeds fell on soil that grew up with weeds. And what do weeds do? Any of you garden? What do weeds do with a nice tender little tomato plant? Choke it out. That's hanging out with worldly Christians, worldly people, worldly friends. They choke you out. Then there's seeds that fall on the fertile ground. And what happens to them? Their roots go deep. They listen to the Father and the Spirit. They spring up and bear much fruit. And that's what has to happen in you. You've got to ask the Father to be fertile ground, to hear the word. And when you hear it and somebody brings it to you, now what will you do with it? Will you just squander it? Will you let Satan take it away? Will you grow up among thorns and just die away? or you grow into the fertile ground. And the proof that you're in fertile ground is, what is your doctrine? Anybody know what doctrine means? Huh?
Teaching.
Yeah, teaching, instruction, doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, hold fast to sound doctrine by which you are saved and them that hear thee. Do we work our way to heaven because of sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is truth. If you're in sound doctrine and truth, who is the truth? Jesus. So it makes sense. If you're in Jesus, you're in his truth, you're in sound doctrine, it's going to save you because you're following him. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Makes sense. Nobody calls him that. Everybody calls him the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. John 16:13. He's the Spirit of truth. So if you're living lies and any false doctrine, that didn't come from the Spirit of truth. That came from the father of lies, Satan. Right?
So you guys have a whole church? And like...
Well, I travel full time, so we're never in one place, but we would be considered home fellowship saints. We know saints scattered all over the world that we fellowship with online. I don't know anybody that's fully biblical in a building. Email me and invite me to one. I'll come test it. I don't think you'll find it. God's got his true remnant scattered all over the world to do his work and to call out to people to repent and come out of. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, repent, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. What's the unclean thing? Culture, false doctrine, corrupt churchianity, carnal entertainment that puts Jesus' name on it. Linking with Roman Catholicism, it's not of God. It's a corrupt way. So what must you do? Repent and follow Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything else goes by the wayside. Obey everything he shows you each day. Keep striving each day in holiness. And the day you let up and stop, Satan's going to come in and probably take away what you've gained. Don't stop. You can't stop as a husband. You can't stop as a father. How many people can work their job and say, I don't feel like working today, boss. I'm going to sit around and do nothing. Unless you got a really forgiving boss, he might give you one day of that. And then he's going to say, you better show up and work tomorrow or we're going to replace you. How come people let worldly bosses honor them and rule or rule over them for money? But when they, God says, let me rule you for eternal life. People go, I don't know. I got a hard time with that. I don't think I want to really do that. What are you going to gain? Everything you labor for, what are you going to gain? Your whole life. What's your dreams, your aspirations? Everything you're dreaming for. To be a famous musician. To be rich like Elon Musk. Elon Musk is going to die and go to hell lest he repents. He'll be in the line with the paupers and the homeless guys that I minister to in the street on Judgment Day. He'll be right behind them. God's not going to go, oh, it's Elon Musk. Bring him up front. God's not a partial God, is he? He's not a respecter of person. Elon's going to go, oh, I thought I'd get some standard up here. No, not unless you repent, Elon. He doesn't even believe Christ is God.
He was wearing the costume last October.
Yeah. Do you know what Elon Musk is? Elon Musk grows up, and my son, who's not a believer, is 35. And 10 years ago, my son laughed at me when I preached about an Antichrist figure showing up. One man that would get world favor, that would start doing all kinds of things, and the world would be looking at him. Elon Musk grows up. My son starts watching him. One day, my son says to me, Dad, he said, what? He goes, Elon Musk? I said, yeah, I watch him. I know what's going on. I said, you mean the guy that wants to put a chip in your brain? Yeah. The guy that wants to control all the communications? The guy that wants to control everybody? As soon as you get an electric car, they can shut you off.
Yeah.
That guy? He said, yeah. He goes, I never believed one guy could be so popular, so famous, and have so much influence. He goes, I think what you're talking about, the Antichrist, could be true. I said, of course it's true, son. He's coming. I don't think Elon is the Antichrist. He's an archetype of him. They're already looking at Elon Musk. Elon, give us $10 billion and we'll solve world hunger. That's what they're saying to him. Elon's pretty smart. He went to the World Federation of Nations and he said, are you in control to feed people? Yeah, we are. He said, what's your budget? And they said, $27 billion a year. He goes, you have $27 billion a year and you haven't solved world hunger and you're telling me $10 billion a year will solve it. Elon's no dummy. They don't solve it because a lot of the money goes to logistics. A lot of people starve because of false religion. In India, they won't kill a rat because of reincarnation. The rats eat 3/4 of the grain. That's why starvation is all around the world, because of religious stupidity, religious idolatry, sin and wickedness.
Can I ask a question? I mean, it's not super.
Of course you can, if you're not a mocker.
No, no.
Would you like a gospel card?
I think I'm good, but I would like to know.
No one's good, by the way. It's what the scripture says.
I'd just like to know, I feel like with LifeFest, right, is a place of worship, and I want to know, like, what about LifeFest specifically, like, do you think that LifeFest can't bring people closer to Jesus?
No, it can't. It's
in
sin.
No way.
It's sin. It's a compromise. It teaches a false gospel. It links to Roman Catholicism and does the mass in there that's blasphemy against my Savior. Roman Catholicism is a pagan occult religion. Bob Lentz, the guy that runs this, is linked with the Roman Catholics. He says they're his mentor. They sell the things of God. Toby Mac is a music whore. Ask me why he's a music whore. What does a whore do? Sells her body for money. What's Toby Mac doing? Selling himself. He's a multimillionaire selling so-called God music. Jesus came in John 2, and what did he do? Do you know? He made a whip and was angry. Men were selling doves for a few pences. He's making himself a millionaire. So is Chris Tomlin and all these corrupt men. And God would judge that and is going to judge it. And so, no, you can't worship God in sin and compromise. You worship God by your everyday life lived obeying the scriptures. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. This isn't obeying Jesus. This is a placebo. Do you know what a placebo is? What is it? It fools you. So this fools you. Go in here. We'll sing about Jesus. We'll act worldly and carnal. And we'll feel all good with the music. And then go out in the world. And, well, what do we do when we go out in the world? Well, just be like the world. Act like the world. Dress like the world. Entertain like the world. Live like the world. That's not how you serve Jesus. That's a placebo pill. That's what Sunday church does. That's why I hate Sunday church. I love the people. I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 104. David said, I hate every false way. They teach you. I was witnessing to a guy the other day, and I was telling him the sins of his church body, and there was many. And you know what he said to me? Yeah, you're right. It's full of sin. I'm comfortable in my church system. They teach him it's comfortable to okay to stay in his sin and defy God and not walk after righteousness. That's why I hate these false systems.
Can so, I follow up that then?
Of course you can.
What do you think is the best way to get people to Jesus?
Well, I'm standing out here with gospel signs. I've preached to probably over 100 people that have actually listened. And so the best way is to imitate Jesus. He was a preacher. Do you know what the word preach means?
Yeah, to teach.
Yeah, it actually means a public crier. That's what it means in the Greek. It's a public crier. It's not a guy in a wooden box on Sunday. That's a man-made tradition. A public crier. So the best way is to model Jesus and Paul. Go out, live the gospel in all your ways. Holiness, obedience, come out of the world. Then go out and offer people the gospel and call them to repentance. This is just titillating your flesh. Jesus, did Jesus put on rock concerts to reach people? How about Paul? How about John the Baptist? Who are we supposed to imitate and model? Those guys. We're not supposed to imitate these guys. So the best way is to go and live the gospel, preach the gospel. Only the gospel will transform a heart, soul, and mind by the Spirit of God.
If someone goes into LifeFest and is brought to the Word, the Bible, and dives into the Bible,
if they go to LifeFest and they start reading the Bible?
Yeah, if they come to the Bible, if they come to want to know Jesus.
Yeah. If God can use anything, and if people start reading the Bible, guess what? They'll study and be ashamed of how sinful this is, and they won't ever come back to LifeFest. And they'll say, God, I'm going to follow you in truth. God can use anything. Let me ask you a question. Would you take a Bible to get somebody to read it? Would you put pornography on the cover to get them to open it up and read it? What is that called? That's called pragmatism. I'm going to water down the gospel, change my approach, do everything I can to draw people just to get them kind of, sort of, maybe close to Jesus. That's not what they did. They called for holiness, repentance, and to follow Jesus. And the only way you're going to come, young man, is if you're pricked in your conscience, in your heart, you run to the scriptures, you test everything, and the Spirit of God drives you crazy, meaning convicts you, won't let you sleep, and you obey. Not please your flesh in this carnality. Romans 8:8 says you can't please God in your flesh. This is flesh. The music is fleshly. The Bible says come out of every false way. Paul said in Romans 12, don't conform to the world. They love the world. They act just like the world. Toby, the music whore, Mac, acts and lives just like the world. What? He's a worldly, carnal man.
What part of music makes it unholy?
What part of music makes it unholy? Yeah. Well, this particular music is, it's put on by a bunch of worldly people that sell it. It's got instrumental music that's fleshly and makes you move your body when the New Testament just sung with their lips. Okay? And drum beats and all of that stuff, we already proven. Did you know, in Africa, do you know what voodoo witch doctors tell you? Look how foolish this is. Look at me. Look at my body moving with this music. That's not spirit. That's flesh.
God tells us to dance.
In the Old Testament? In the Torah law? David danced one time when the ark was coming in. Who danced in the New Testament?
I don't know.
Nobody. Who do we model? David or Jesus and Paul?
We model who? Jesus.
He never danced. He gave us the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, and then he called for the musicians and they jammed out. No. They sang a hymn. You know what a hymn is? Just singing. Oh, Lord, we love you. Give us this day. Yeah, it's not beautiful in my voice, but God will take it. Especially after preaching 12 hours.
What if it's still a joyful noise?
A joyful noise. Sing to God. Make a joyful noise. You're my creator. I love you. That's a joyful noise. Not guitars and flesh. And look at who's doing it. Worldly, carnal people. Yeah. Are you a mocker? I don't entertain mockers. Okay. I may answer it. I may not. Okay. So you have a right to ask a question. Are you married?
I am not.
Okay. I ask because I don't teach over men's wives. But if you're not married, I'd be happy to share with you.
You don't speak to married women?
I don't teach over their husbands. That's disrespectful. I wouldn't teach his wife the things of God. He's a man of God. He's supposed to be walking the ways of God. The Bible tells me not to teach her to go to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's biblical.
So, I've been talking to your wife about they don't feel born again.
Yes, ma'am.
You were at one member.
Say you were at what?
I don't want to call this a protest because you are just trying
it's
to...
not a protest. Wait. It's not a protest, but I love this. Evangelicals come out and get mad when we show up with signs and they say you're protesting us. And I say to them, where did the word Protestant come from? The word protest. They protested the Roman Catholics. They don't like when we protest them.
Well, I'm just saying.
We're not protesting. We're preaching Jesus.
We're preaching Jesus.
We're preaching the gospel.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
I'm going to throw this here and I'll pick it up before I go.
I was talking to her. And say you are preaching the word of Jesus and you come across a person who...